110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Thursday, October 20th, 2022. And we'll be talking about the Iowa game coming up this weekend on Saturday. Back from vacation, so getting ready to, you know, have a good show here. So
Disney was beautiful, and this weather has been absolute garbage since we've been home. So I really miss Orlando.
It's been a lousy week, even though it seems like we're gonna get some good weather this weekend.
But I know the heat's not for everyone, but this has sucked.
Yeah, I know it has. And then first week back from work, it's just been a long week so far. So
hell of a time to spiral into seasonal depression.
Yeah. All right. So basically the show plans for tonight is we're going to start off with just kind of going through, since we're coming off the off week, that kind of just our midseason thoughts on a couple of things. And then we'll get into Iowa, our thoughts on the Iowa game. And then we will finish it off with all of our, our normal predictions for multiple teams within the conference and around the country, the spread predictions, and then finish up with the score predictions for the Iowa game.
Sounds good.
All right. So for the midseason stuff, so we were going to talk about who we think our players of the,
I think midseason, just, we're 6 games through in a 12 game regular season. So I think let's start off with, who's your Buckeyes offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, and let's say rookie of the year. So that would be your freshman of the year, and that could be either side of the ball.
Okay. And just to make it interesting, we'll keep Stroud out of
okay. Wow.
To me, that's just the obvious.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, I think so. I guess to talk about Stroud just to start off, it seems like right now at this moment, I know that Hooker had a huge game last week against Bama. They beat Alabama. But it seems like, and it's all going to come down to what he looks like the rest of the season, specifically against Michigan. But it kind of seems like right now at this moment, it's Stroud's to lose the Heisman. It seems like that's where all the betting odds in Vegas are going. Your thoughts on that. I've heard some people talk about, depending what he looks like against Michigan, that this could be a very easily, in Buckeye terms, you think about what Burrow, how easily he won it, but in Buckeye terms, this could be a Troy Smith, kind of runaway with the Heisman.
Well, I think Burrow went against a much harder field than what Troy Smith did. So I think that's kind of what CJ has in front of him right now. And that's not to take shots at Hendon Hooker, Blake Corum, Caleb Williams, whoever else is out there. I just think that when it's all, said and done, he's going to run away with the Heisman Trophy. I don't think anyone is, it's almost too easy for him right now.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, I think, what's been people's hold up on him, is they don't realize the greatness that they're seeing. But there's going to be a point where he's playing harder defenses and he's going to take over games. And I think in, like you said, Michigan, for example, he could take over that game. And I think that just is going to seal the deal for him. For midway through the season, my Heisman Trophy favorite is still going to be CJ Stroud.
Yeah. I think
do you have a dark horse outside of Hendon Hooker, or is that it?
I mean, right now, Hooker's my only dark horse. I would right now say, and we've seen it twice before, is that if Michigan beats Ohio State and Corum has a good game, and then I think that could possibly vault him into the Heisman race. But right now, that's just it for me. I mean, I like Caleb Williams. I think he does a lot for USC. It's just, he's going to have all the stats at the end of the year too. It's just that, USC's defense kind of showed themselves that, they're just, and I know that should not be marked against him, but if you have an undefeated CJ Stroud, who ends up beating Michigan, who's a top four team, that, you know, that's just going to do better than anything Caleb Williams has. And it's the same thing with Hooker. It's just that, you know, especially, I mean, the interesting thing, if Hooker looks as dominant against Georgia in 2 weeks as he did against Bama last week offensively, that that's going to make things a little bit very interesting on my part, just because, you know, that's, you know, that's the two best teams in everybody's minds.
And Bryce Young is not dead yet.
He's not. It's just,
he played a hell of a game.
It always makes Tennessee. You think how many guys, when they were very young, they win the Heisman, and then, you know, they don't do as, they do fine the next year. They do, they have basically the same numbers and they're kind of like afterthoughts for it. It just seems, and I know this is the Ohio State advantage because Archie's an Ohio State thing. It just seems like that, you know, they're willing to give those guys the Heisman, but it's like they got to like surpass it by so much the following year before it's even considered again. Like, I mean, Tebow was a finalist how many times, and he didn't sniff the actually winning it again, you know, outside of when he won it. Kind of seems like right now it just seems like, yeah, Bryce is a little bit of an afterthought. And I just think that's probably what it is. It's just that there's other guys out there, you know, the standard's already been set with the two Heismans with Archie. I think if Archie was playing in this type of era, he wouldn't have gotten the second Heisman. It just seems like that they want, you know, so much that you have to really prove yourself the second time around. And so I just think that, you know, Hooker's there, Stroud's there, and that's probably your two favorites right now. That I think Stroud's overwhelmingly the favorite, but, you know, I think things could get interesting because I could see, you know, if Hooker would win the SEC this year, beat Georgia, and they would go on to win it, because I believe it's the following week is usually the following week after conference championships, that he might get some votes through there, and it could really split the country to where, you know, I mean, the South could vote in a block that, you know, for him, and the North could vote in a block for Stroud, and then it kind of would come down to pretty much the Western voters to, you know, who's actually the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could see that, but like, it's midseason. I'm going with Stroud as even a heavier favorite than what I thought to start the year.
Yeah, agree with that. All right, so let's go through. We'll start with the offense. So your offensive player of the year up to this point.
I mean, I think there's only two like logical ones here. So I'm going to say Mayan Williams, just because he's really made the offense go. I mean, he's made, there's a lot of credit to go around with what he's doing. It's not just running hard. It's, you know, faith in Justin Fry, faith in the offense, like offensive line. There's a lot of different pieces. Of course, the receiving game. Mayan's just ran so damn hard though. And I think he's, you know, his mindset has kind of trickled down to Trey now too, and they're both running really hard. So I think Mayan right now through the six games, even though he hasn't played in like one and a half, but I think he would be my definite, he'd be my guy.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Marv on this one, just because I think Marv is now kind of the point, and we'll, I mean, this might be crazy to say, but I think Marv is going to be, even when JSN comes back healthy, Marv's kind of the focal point of the receiving core. I think he has to kind of,
if you never double team him, you're screwed. Like you got, he's got to figure that out.
Like, and JSN's going to kill people in the middle of the field. And so it's going to be, but that's what they're going to line him up. They're going to line him up in the slot and leave Marv on the outside. And so you're going to have to make that choice. And I think you can do a lot of things with different zones and different type of things against JSN. Doesn't mean that they'll work in the middle, but if you don't have a safety over top to help your corner on the outside, that, you know, Marv Jr. is going to kill them. So I think he's the best wide receiver in the country. And I don't think it's close. And I think it's still going to be kind of the same.
Igbuka has great stats.
Yeah.
But Marv talent wise, I think right now, I mean, I know people are looking forward to when Smith and Jigba's back, but I just think talent wise,
No.
Marv's a mismatch for everybody.
Like, I'm to the, like, I mean, he's just got everything right now. If it wasn't, if he was a year older, I mean, he's the first receiver off the board.
Oh, he's a top five draft pick.
And easily. So I don't think that, like, I think he's the top five guy right now. I mean, he could be the top wide receiver off the board as
I actually thought of this in Florida, and I don't know about like property rights or anything, so I don't want to get too like offensive or anything. Do you think an NFL team should be able to take the risk of losing a first rounder to have the rights to a college football player?
I don't know. I mean, maybe
would some do it?
Yeah, maybe that, that's an interesting thought. I mean,
we'll talk about that some other time.
I mean, I don't see any NFL team doing it outside the Raiders.
That's a Raiders thing. And it's too risky. You never know what happens the next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting thought, but I don't think I think it would be more that the NFL maybe eventually is going to try to push that, you know, should we be allowed to take second year kids? And like, I mean, that's the whole kind of Maurice Claret thing again, as a first year, he is a freshman in college, but I mean, we're in a much different, I think, world where I think some of these kids could, where Claret might have been like an oddball even in the early 2000s.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah. I think we're at a point where when you think about lifting programs that are in college, lifting programs that are even in high school, that we might be at a point that, you know, some of these, a few more of these kids that are first year kids could actually play in the NFL.
Well, but I mean, a lot of them still don't look like Marv did last year, though.
That's true.
He's just came up differently.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just pedigree.
Yeah. And I love that pick. I mean, that was my other one. That's what I said. There's two. Yeah. He was my other one.
All right. Your rookie of the year offensively.
Well, it has to be Dallin Hayden, right? As far as true freshman, I mean, I guess, is there a redshirt freshman out there? I don't know. Is. Who would you say?
Donovan.
Okay. I like that. I mean, is he considered a redshirt freshman?
I don't know if he's considered, but I know he didn't play enough last year to where I consider him a rookie last year.
I do like that. I'll take that. I think Dallin Hayden stepped up in a big way, though.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Because not only, you know, did he get thrown in that third role, but he's actually been in the second role for a couple of weeks now. And so he's looked really good. But yeah, I like Donovan Jackson. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I think the offensive line, just especially when you think about it from what he looks like right now against when he looked like against Notre Dame. I mean, he made a couple of mistakes against Notre Dame. Notre Dame kind of pushed him back a couple of times and stuff. And I mean, you can't get around the kid, just like it seems like you can't get rid of around any of them right now.
No, yeah, they're all playing at a very high level.
Where you think about when I think about the Notre Dame game, I thought, well, he might be a weak spot, just not necessarily thinking that he's a weak player, but it might take a year for him to really be up to that level. And I think he's already there, and they're just getting better and better every week, the offensive line, and he's a big part of it. So that's what I'm going with.
Okay. I like that.
All right. Defensive player of the year.
Defensive MVP. There's a couple. I'm going to go with Tommy Eichenberg because I get first choice. So Tommy's been everywhere. He makes every tackle. He is a run-stopping machine. Mm-hmm. Looks like the image of the silver bullet middle linebacker. Tommy Eichenberg is filling in wonderfully to, you know, what the people that have been before him. The Laurinaitis's, McMillan's, and Katzenmoyer's, you know, Schlegel's, whomever. I mean, he's been doing a great job.
Yeah. I like Steele in that spot too. I like, obviously Tommy would be probably my top choice. Guy kind of throw out there is that, you know, out of those safeties, you know, I really like how Latham's playing. I really like how Ronnie Hickman's playing. They're both having, you know, I would think maybe an edge a little bit towards Latham. So I'm going to throw him out there. I think he's,
he is the starter now, right?
I think so. It seems like, but I mean, he's, besides the game or two he was out, I mean, he's been pretty phenomenal. Yeah,
He's been great.
I mean, definitely looking good. All right, our rookie of the year on that side of the...
Well, rookie of the year for me, he could have been player of the year for me as well. It's Mike Hall Jr. right there in the middle. I mean,
I forgot about him, but yeah.
I don't think you can argue that. I mean, you could say, you know, because I think he is a redshirt freshman. If he's not, though... kind of the same thing like with you with Donovan Jackson. He didn't play enough last year to register for me. So yeah, he's going to get my rookie of the year. I mean, he's a beast. There's nothing else to say.
Yeah.
The guy is a just TFL machine.
Yeah. I definitely like that one. Probably would be the top choice. Not necessarily about numbers or anything, but I'm going to throw J.K. Johnson out there just because I think that he's kind of now proven himself that he can play as a starter. I definitely like where he's at. And he's been really solid when he's in there. Doesn't mean he doesn't make mistakes, but you know, it just gives you, you know, as long as he, you know, maybe doesn't have a Denzel Burke moment going into next year, I think he's fine. And even Burke's been looking, I mean, I know he's not a rookie, but you know, Burke, I thought looked better last week against Michigan State than he's, you know,
and Cam Brown seemed to have taken a step back.
So, you know, that
it's a wonder right now.
Yeah. It's interesting. But you know, definitely, you know, I think that I like the way he's been playing. So, you know, I'm going to go with that.
All right. And then honorable mention has to be Sonny Styles, just for even seeing the field at 17 years old, man. As productive as he's been as a kid.
Yeah. He's playing me.
Yeah.
angry individual.
I can't wait for that, dude. All right. And then finally, just we had our, I don't know if you remember your playoff predictions or not. My playoff predictions were Ohio State played Oklahoma, Alabama played Clemson, Ohio State beat Alabama to end the day. So updated playoff prediction. I'm saying this is going to sound crazy. Ohio State plays Michigan in the first round. Ohio State is going to beat them twice. Alabama plays Clemson. Alabama beats Clemson. Because I still don't think Clemson has the offense, even at the end of the day, that they would stretch Alabama enough to be able to beat them in that game. And then Ohio State beats Alabama. So I'm still 1-3 remains for me. Same ending, but I see Michigan backing into this.
I think I had USC as my fourth.
Yes.
And I had the two SEC schools, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's, I mean, obviously I still have Ohio State in there. They're going to beat Michigan. I have been weighing that one, whether Michigan's getting into us. I think it kind of depends on what that game looks like. If Michigan looks like what they're looking like, you know, right now, and they lose a very close one in Columbus, then, you know, I think they're probably the favorites to go in there.
Well, that depends on Tennessee too.
I think, yeah.
I mean,
that's kind of where I'm
going. Ever think like we'd be in a spot that Tennessee is like the wild card of what's going to happen in the playoffs? Because I mean, think about it. They beat Georgia and they beat Bama again. Really good shot. Georgia backs into the playoffs.
Yeah.
They lose to Georgia. Alabama beats Georgia. Then what the hell?
I think if they, I'm starting the, because I don't like what I'm seeing on Georgia's offense. So part of me does think Tennessee is going to beat Georgia. And I think they could beat Bama again. And so that knocks Bama out at that point. And, you know, I don't know even as defending national champion that they've had some shaky games this year. I don't know if a one loss Georgia gets in over a one loss Michigan, you know, especially if that game looks good. There's still some interesting things out there with Clemson. I really think Clemson's going to easily win the ACC. So I think Clemson's in. So that's probably my change with USC that they're in. I think Ohio State's in. So it's really coming down to there's like kind of like four teams there now that I'm thinking it's between kind of Michigan, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. I think just going off the SEC bias, I'm going to say it's going to be Bama. Cause I think Bama's until Bama loses an SEC title game, I'm just going to say that Bama's going to win the SEC.
Yeah.
And so they're either going to give Georgia their first loss or they're going to give Tennessee their first loss. And that's kind of that loser will be back in. I think at this point, Tennessee did enough by beating Alabama. If they play Georgia good, even if they lose against Georgia, I think that they could be in a position themselves even to go in if somehow Georgia would lose two games in here, if somebody would upset Georgia, and then Bama would beat Georgia. So like I think it'll be the two SEC schools out of the three SEC schools. I just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
Because I could even see, you know, Georgia beating Tennessee Georgia knocking off Alabama and then Tennessee making it in.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, can
that,
see that.
That definitely is in play.
I think we'll see two SEC schools. I think we'll see Ohio State and I think we'll see Clemson.
And
Ohio State wins the national title. I'm not really sure how, in that scenario, Ohio State's going to play one of the SEC schools in the first round. Cause I think they could play Clemson. If Ohio State's number two, they'll probably play Clemson at number three. But I think at that point after I think Ohio State, I'm at a 60-40 spot. I think Ohio State's going to be the number one seed in the playoffs. It's just, if they keep on looking how they looked and if they beat Michigan in a decent fashion, I don't think it matters who they play in the Big Ten title game. But I could be wrong there. I mean, again, there's some SEC bias and all that stuff, but I think part of me, probably the little bit of the majority of me is thinking that Ohio State's going to get the number one seed. And, so they'll probably play the second, which kind of sucks that I'd rather play Clemson, but you know, it'll be the year everybody argues that you got to get to the first seed to play whoever the Oklahoma or Washington is
right
the year, but it'll end up being the second SEC school. So,
well, I can tell you if either one of those teams from the East go out unblemished, they're getting the number one seed.
Yeah, I agree with
that's going to happen forever for the SEC. So, they got, Georgia or Tennessee have to lose for Ohio State to be the one seed. I said Ohio State's going to be the only undefeated team going into the playoffs. I'm going to amend that statement because the only way Clemson's getting in is if they go undefeated. Yeah, so I think Clemson's going to go undefeated. I think they went out. I still have it pretty much the same. Just replace Michigan for Oklahoma.
Yeah. All righty. So Iowa.
Let me dive right in. All right.
The Hawkeyes.
This will be an interesting game. We'll talk about a score later. I think Ohio State's like a 30-point favorite or something. I'll look up the spread here in a minute. I'm only talking about Iowa's defense in this because, let's face it, they don't have an offense. So the only thing that's going to keep them in this game is their defense. And then,
mistakes by Ohio State.
Right. And then Ohio State's offense making mistakes and then short fields for Iowa's offense. I mean, that's the only chance. So, kind of how I've broken this down. I think I said that right. The last couple of weeks. So Iowa's defense has been giving up 9.8 points per game, 264 yards allowed, 154 in the air, 110 rushing. To compare to Ohio State's defense, Ohio State's given up 15.7 points per game. So less. Ohio State's given up 253 yards. So Ohio State's actually given up less yards per game. Ohio State gives up 160 pass and 93 rushing. So Ohio State actually has a better rushing defense. Mm-hmm. Probably played worse rushing competition, though. All right, let's break it down. So South Dakota State scored 3 points, had 87 pass yards, 33 rush yards. Because they are not a Division I school, I don't know what their stats are on ESPN, what they average. Iowa State scored 10 points. They averaged 23 on the year. They had 184 passing yards, averaged 267, had 129 rushing yards, and they averaged 101. So they did let them over their average on the ground. Nevada scored 0 points, averages 22 for the year, 82 yards in the air, averages 166, 69 on the ground, averages 124. So well below all their averages. Rutgers scored 10 points, 23. Is what they average. Rutgers has an outlier here. They have had 300 yards in the air. They average 173. So, I mean, and I think that's just an outlier. 61 on the ground, they average 160. So well below their season average. Michigan scored 27 points. They average 42.7. They had 155 in the air. They averaged 231. They had 172 on the ground. They averaged 241. Illinois, so they really balanced actually. Wow. Illinois, and that those last two were losses. Iowa State was a loss too. I forgot to mention that. Illinois scored 9 points on them. They averaged 26, 116 in the air. They averaged 216, 200 on the ground. They averaged 199. So that was about a push. Mm-hmm. So as you can tell, Iowa gives up a lot less than what people average throughout the year. So they still have a good defense.
Yeah.
Ohio State's coming into this game averaging 48.8 points per game, 315 yards in the air, 228 on the ground. So the The question is, can Ohio State get above any of their averages anywhere? Can they push their averages? Do they even need to get close to their averages to win this game, though?
Yeah, I think I actually do think Ohio State's going to get above both their they're going to hit both their averages. It just feels like that. It depends how Iowa's defense wants to play them. If Iowa's defense wants to play their typical defense and they're going to try to keep their defensive backs back. And they're a disciplined team. They're going to be the most disciplined team Ohio State's played up to this point defensively. And just because they keep their safeties back doesn't mean it's going to hurt them any much on the run. It's just Ohio State's offensive line probably as of this point, you know, Michigan's offensive line's out there too. That this is arguably the best offensive line that they've played, you know, right there with Michigan. And I just think that, you know, Ohio State will, if the safety stay back, Ohio State will be able to open up the holes. It might take a little minute, you know, but they will eventually start turning 3 and 4 yard gains into, you know, 6, 7 yard gains, in my opinion, once they get really rolling. And now if they try to play more aggressively, I think Ohio State, I mean, I know they're a good secondary. I just think Ohio State will torch them that, you know, through there, and just kind of like how I feel now. Pretty much going to any game. I mean, if you're gonna try to put it on CJ's back, he'll tear you apart. And so, like, I don't know. I think they have a really good defense. I just think that good defense is going to be out there a lot, because I have no faith in Iowa's offense to even keep this game close.
I kind of agree. I look at some outliers here. Like, you're not outliers. Your best running attacks were Iowa State, who actually ran for more than what they average. Michigan, who didn't run for quite as much, but they still gashed them for 172 yards. And Illinois, who had a push. Yeah. And those are your best rushing attacks that they face. And they haven't dominated those rushing attacks by any stretch of the imagination. So I think Ohio State can have success. And
what's Michigan's rush average?
241. Ohio State's 228.
And just the thing on that is, I think that could be a little skewed. I mean, what are they?
They ran for 4 something against Penn State.
Yeah. I mean, so they have some high average, and they play nobodies to begin the year. So there's some skew in there. I mean, that's a really good rushing game against Iowa, what they did. So yeah. I could easily see Ohio State in that same ballpark. So what did they end up running for?
Ohio State's 228. Michigan ran for 172.
Okay. So I think that 170 to, I think, 220, 230 is probably where Ohio State's going to fall rushing the ball. Yeah. So like that, to me, Michigan had a really good running game against them. And I mean, Michigan running 170 something yards against Iowa, like, there's almost no way you can lose to Iowa.
And Illinois, you know, they had 200 yards where they averaged 199. So it was kind of a push for their season. They also ran the ball like 50 times. I mean, their average wasn't very good for the game. So you got to keep that in mind as well. But I'm going to take this right into my player of the game. So I'm going to go, actually, Trey Henderson's going to be my player of the game. I think the second half of the season, he's going to have a huge second half of the season. Like I said, I think Mayan's pushed him, and I think Mayan's been the player of the team outside of Stroud up until this point, but I think it's going to be Henderson coming home with it. So he'll be my offensive player of the game for this one.
I don't know if he's back or not. It seems like that maybe he's looking kind of good this week. I know I said, I think, you know, Marv has been, you know, he's definitely the focal point of the receiving corps now. I think JSN's going to be the player of the game. I think he's going to be back. He's going to look really good. And he's just going to be that oddball receiver that just is going to be the thing that's way too much for Iowa's defense. You know, Iowa's defense is, they're not really, Iowa's defense always reminds me of Penn State's defense. You know, they're good at what they're good at. They don't get out of,
they don't make mistakes.
They play good sound fundamental, but once you start really challenging them out to a lot of different spots with a lot of different players, that's where their breaking points are. And I just think that JSN is just going to be one thing way too much for him to handle. It seems like that, you know, knock on wood, that, you know, it looks like he's been practicing this week. I have heard some reporters say that it doesn't seem like he's favoring his leg at all. Mm-hmm. So if he's healthy enough to go, he's playing, and I think that he could have a really good game, especially it seems like weather's not going to be an issue this weekend.
So yeah.
you know, he could really have a good game.
I got an under the radar guy in Cade Stover this week. I think he's kind of fallen off the last couple. I think he's going to, again, JSN might come back into this game, and I think that's going to take away some of that from the middle of the field, and Cade Stover is going to reap the rewards of that.
Yeah.
So I see him having another big game this week.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I mean, he's not really like under, like,
it's almost at the point you can't have an under the radar guy on the offense.
Because I kind of want to go what you're saying with Trey. I think Trey's going to have a really, really just big game. I wouldn't say he's definitely under the under the radar or anything like that. I just think, you know, again, that they're going to be able to play with both him and Maya. And it seems like that, you know, they're both healthy. You know, knock on wood. It just seems like, you know, just a couple of the things that we've heard that, you know, that seems like that they're both practicing and stuff like that. So I think he could have a really big game against this defense. And again, if they keep the safeties back to try to take away the passing threats, then, you know, I just think that they will feast on them with the running game.
I actually got two bold predictions. My first one is Cade Stover is going to have a rushing touchdown on a tight end around. And my second one is that Ohio State will average and or hit their average and exceed their rushing output for the year. And Trey Henderson will have at least 200 yards on the ground.
I like that.
I can see. I think he was well on his way against Michigan State. It seems like it's starting to click for him. Just take what they give you and your athleticism will take over at some point.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to get over 200 yards. And I'm sorry I took two.
Bold prediction. I think part of me thinks that, you know, I threw... Like, I don't know what the final score is going to end up being. I think that, you know, the fact that Ryan Day mentioned 2017 loss and stuff like that. And, you know, we've all joked about this as Ohio State fans. But when you think about a loss in 17 and you're all the way in 22, none of these kids know about that.
Right. Loss. Yeah.
But he knows about that loss. So, and the fact that they've talked about it, I just think that, I think he's going to do some things, interesting things to just kind of embarrass Iowa a little bit. And I think one of those is that we're going to have a throwback touchdown to CJ Stroud from one of the receivers that
I like that.
That's what I'm going with. That just a little salt in the wounds.
Maybe JSN first game back.
Yeah. A little salt in the wounds. Just remind Iowa that they're not Ohio State.
Who the big dog is. All right, switching to defense, player of the game. So I think I was going to try to do a ton with their tight ends. And I think Lathan Ransom is going to be challenged because he's that man at safety. And I think he's going to rise to the occasion. A couple pass breakups, maybe even interception, a lot of tackles though, but he will definitely, we will leave the game on Saturday thinking Lathan Ransom was the best player on the defense.
Yeah, I like that pick. I definitely think that they're going to be, you know, kind of reminds me, you know, he had a really good game against what's his face, Mayer from Notre Dame. This is definitely the best tight end team we've played since them. So I definitely think that he could have a really big game. I think a lot of the safeties all could have a really big game. I'm going to go with Tommy just because, like, again, Iowa, what are they going to want to do? They're going to want to run the ball. And they're going to throw it to the tight ends and that, all that stuff favors Tommy. He's just playing lights out right now. And I think he's going to just continue to play. I mean, he is really, I mean, we talked about the Heisman earlier, but I think he's moving very much into Butkus territory. And you know, he finishes out this season strong. Like, and I know I haven't watched everybody around the league, but I have watched a lot of different of the SEC's teams. I don't see anybody down there that's had just as good a season as him. I mean, there might be a couple guys that are playing just as good, but like, I don't think anybody's having a better season. So like, I think that he's really moving into Butkus territory and he's going to have some big games down the stretch to prove himself here. And I think he could win it. And I think he's going to have a big game.
Yeah, I agree. Breakout candidate. I don't know, man. The team is playing so good on both sides of the ball. It's really started like, it's almost like we got to get rid of this stat because I don't know if there's anyone anymore that like can surprise you when the game matters. I'm going to say Zach Harrison though. I think he's going to do another great job setting the edge. he's even going to get a sack in this game.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to say? That I'm going to go with Jack Sawyer in this spot. And the only reason why I'm saying that is it seems like over the last couple weeks, he's kind of gotten a little bit more and they're letting him do a little bit. He's seems like he's graduating from the Jack to the Leo, and that he's becoming the king. And I think that I'm really expecting a big down the stretch, because I think they're going to let him. I think Knowles is going to let him loose a little bit coming down the stretch, and let him do a little bit more of that. Some of that Leo stuff that, you know, just let him roam a little, even a little freer than he's been roaming. And he's going to be lining up in just multiple spots, from, you know, he could be linebacker at times to a guy in between the linebackers and the defense line. I just think there's going to be a lot of different things for him. And, you know, they're really stacking him in some interesting spots already. And you're just seeing more and more of it as the year goes on. And so I'm going to say him just on that. I think that they're really going to start letting him kind of open up and let him really make some dominant plays, you know, going after the quarterback and stuff.
I like it. Spencer Petras is going to have not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. Okay, right, six. He's going to have six turnovers in this game. He's going to have, it's actually going to be 3-3. He's going to have 3 fumbles, 3 interceptions.
I think
Knowles he's all over the place. He's the probably most inconsistent, inaccurate thrower they're going to go against this year. I think Knowles will have his defense well prepared for that. And I think he's going to try to hold on the ball, because I think they are going to try to do some stuff through the air with their tight ends, and possibly that they think Ohio State's weakness is the quarterbacks, and maybe that's how they have to attack them. He's going to hold on to the ball a little too long sometimes. And
I have watched a couple Iowa games this year. I really, really don't like their offensive line, and
that's real, really bad for what Iowa normally is.
I think Ohio State's going to get like 4 or 5 sacks in this game.
I like that. I mean, I agree with it.
So that's
saying he's fumbling the ball 3 times.
He could, and that could really work in with. But I also think it kind of going to work off of what I said with Sawyer, that he's going to be really letting be allowed to roam free a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so I got to pull my games up. So let's start with the Big Ten. Indiana travels to Piscataway at noon. Oh, that's going to be a fun one. Rutgers is a 3-point favorite, which means this game is essentially a push. So I'm going to say Rutgers wins and covers, because Indiana, they suck. Both teams suck, so... Yeah, I'll say Rutgers wins by more than 3.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I don't really like either one of these teams. But, you know, I'm going to say, you know, Rutgers.
Okay. Purdue travels to Madison at 3:30. Wisconsin's actually a 2.5-point favorite. I don't see it. I don't think Wisconsin has it. I know normally they're usually, you know, the bigger team that beats up on Purdue, but Wisconsin's got some soul searching to do this year, and they're just not ready for that yet. So I'm going to give Purdue with the outright win in this game on the road, because Wisconsin's already lost, 2 games at home?
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you too. I think Purdue's going to beat them by plus 10.
I don't think it's going to be that close of a game. I think
it's a lost cause up there right now, and they're just going to be looking for their new coach.
And they're figuring things out. Maryland, Northwestern travels over to Maryland, 3:30. Maryland's a 14-point favorite. Northwestern is garbage this year. Maryland is going to cover this.
What's going on with little Tua?
Well, he's hurt. I don't know if he's playing. I think he's out. But I still think Maryland's good to cover. I don't know, actually. I should have looked that up, but I'm still saying Maryland covers, because Northwestern is crap this year.
I think Maryland will win handedly, but I think it'll probably be like in that 10 to 13 range. So I'll say they won't cover, but they'll win.
Penn State, Minnesota, whiteout, 7:30. Penn State's a 4-point favorite at home.
Is he healthy?
I think.
He's healthy.
I don't know, man. This one's hard for me to say. I'm going to say, just with the atmosphere, and Minnesota's dropped a couple, I'll say Penn State covers this and they win anywhere like 7 to 10 point range, but it could get ugly fast for them if they can't stop the run.
regardless of who's running the ball, if I think if the way they looked last week, I think Minnesota plays the perfect style to go up against a whiteout, that they're going to just play ball control and take these fans out of this game. So I'm going to say Minnesota wins this game.
Very well could happen.
And Penn State's going to get a little, they're going to also the third thing that's going to be going against them. So I think ball control, they can't stop the run. You know, they're going to lead these fans out of the game. And I think Penn State's going to be looking a little bit ahead for the following week. So I just think a lot of things are lining up against them, and
yeah,
they're going to, they'll lose this game.
I can see it. All right. National landscape. So not as many great games this week as last week, but let's pick out a few. Syracuse travels to Death Valley at noon. Clemson, Death Valley, excuse me. Clemson's a 13.5-point favorite. They both sit undefeated. Clemson's number 5. Syracuse is number 14. I'm not saying Syracuse is for real, but this is a point in the like time of day.
Yeah,
that's a weird one. That Syracuse has been able to stick with them on the road before. So I think Clemson wins, but I don't think they cover. I think this is going to be within 13.5 points.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going like somewhere like 3-7. They're going to win this game by.
I agree with you. I think it will be like a solid 7, you know, maybe 10. But it does. It is interesting that, you know, this could be, and this is like kind of like a little upset possible alert on it, just because it being a noon game, the Clemson fan base ain't going to be necessarily into it yet. We know that
they're not going to be lubricated enough.
We know that from the Buckeyes too. There's, you know, you get those games, those teams that aren't that bad, and you get them at noon, and it just kind of feels a little weird. And, you know, it's not necessarily you're going to lose and you end up winning, but, you know, I think that's kind of how my feel on this one is going to be.
Okay. Ole Miss against LSU. So Ole Miss on the road, they are number 7. They are undefeated. They are 2.5-point underdogs though against LSU. Kelly's definitely had LSU playing better, unranked at 5-2. I don't think they're going to win this game, though. It's a 3:30 at Death Valley. That's definitely hard. You know, that's hard for Ole Miss to overcome, but I think LSU just, they've shown in their two games that just against like the two losses against better competition, yeah, they don't rise to the occasion. So I can't give them, you know, the benefit of the doubt just because they're at home here. So I think Ole Miss wins outright.
And I think it could be a tough game, but I think Ole Miss might have a little too much for him as this game goes on. So I think Ole Miss kind of wins a little comfortably, you know. Mm-hmm. I think they could win in that 7-10 range.
There actually are some good games this week. UCLA travels
to Oregon.
Oregon's a 6-point favorite. Oregon is number 10 in the country at 5-1. UCLA number 9 at 6-0. I'm going to say, I got to see a couple more from UCLA to really believe that they're for real. So I think Oregon actually, Pac-12 is weird. I don't think Oregon's going to cover this. I think they're going to win somewhere between that 3-6 point range.
I actually think Oregon will cover. I think they're the better team, and it just seems.
You think they're the best team right now in the Pac-12?
I do. It's just that whole Georgia beatdown is just hanging still over them. But I think that, I'm with you. I do need to see a little bit more from UCLA. If UCLA wins this game, I think I'm on the UCLA.
I'll believe in them then
at that point. But I think they cover, because I just think they'll beat them by, I think somewhere like 10-14. I'm just not ready to say I think UCLA is really, you know, at that point yet. But like I said, they could prove me wrong. They did beat Washington. You know, there is, you know, they have had some decent wins this year, but, you know, I'm going with Oregon.
Texas travels to Stillwater. Texas is number 20, ranked 5-2. Oklahoma State is ranked 11th, 5-1. Texas is actually a 6.5-point favorite in this game. I want to say Oklahoma State wins outright. I kind of like Texas, and I think that they might be for real, but they've had too much up and down.
I think with yours, I think they're the best team in the conference. And I think TCU is next week. It might be the week after, but I think they cover, and I think Texas beats Oklahoma State. and Stillwater.
So you think as long as Ewers stays healthy, Texas is winning the Big 12?
I just think that with his big arm and you got Bijan, that those two things just go very well together. And it's just, you know, that's just hard to beat. And I think Texas has athletes and, you know, they got players that, you know, they have playmakers, you know, they're Texas. So that I just think that, yeah, if he stays healthy, I think they're going to win the Big 12.
There's still a place in this universe where the play action game is just freaking deadly.
Yeah.
And I know like things have evolved to the RPOs for a lot of teams, but the old school play action, if you got the right running back and you have the right quarterback that has the arm and you got a receiver that can get open, it's still deadly.
I mean, Day's called some, he's called some things this year that I would consider more play action than necessarily RPO.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, yeah, you got a good receiving core, you got a quarterback that can throw and you got a good running back.
It those, still works.
It's a very deadly combination.
I like that. I mean, I'm give me another, like, kind of like the game before, give me another week and then maybe I'll believe Texas. Mississippi State travels to Tuscaloosa. I don't know what to make of this game. So Mississippi State's ranked 24th or 5-2. Alabama is ranked 6-1. Alabama's a 21-point favorite.
Nah.
And they pass at Mississippi State. Like, they have a good quarterback. Will Rogers, usually, right? Will Rogers, yeah. That's his name, right?
Saban is really, really good at coming off losses. You know, he's always been that way.
21's a lot, though.
That's usually where he... It seems like they have that stupid loss, even though I don't think Tennessee was a stupid loss, and then they kind of refocus, and then they're really good. I don't think Mississippi State's going to beat Alabama, but I've seen a lot this year when good passing games. I mean, Texas was, you know,
yeah,
throwing on them. Tennessee really threw on them. I could see them lighting up the secondary some. I think that Alabama is going to win in that 10 to 14 range, just because I do think they're a really good bounce back team, and 21 is a lot. And I just don't think it's going to be, you know, I think Mississippi State's going to score kind of with them. You know, Alabama's just the better team at the end of the game.
Well, I mean, Tennessee doesn't have a good defense. Tennessee beat them. So I can't really even hang my hat on Mississippi State has a bad defense. And
that's kind of how I feel about Alabama's defense, that I don't know. I just think that they're not there.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
which has got to be eating him alive.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to have more of an input on his DBs moving forward. Then late game, TCU against Kansas State. It's at TCU. TCU is a 3.5-point favorite. They are undefeated, ranked 8th. Kansas State is 5-1, ranked 17th. Late games are weird, Mike. Give me Kansas State outright.
I think TCU beats them and they cover the spread. Texas is the one that's going to knock TCU off, in my opinion. And I like Kansas State. Kansas State has upsetted plenty of teams over the years. It just, you know, I like TCU. I just think that they'll win this game and then, you know, their loss is coming.
Yeah. All right. Noon, big noon game on Fox.
We're really like a 30-point favorite
in Columbus, Iowa. Against Ohio State. Ohio State sits at a 30-point favorite. I'm going to say not quite. I'm going to say 38-10. So they're just going to miss it. They will not cover, but Ohio State will win this game comfortably.
Yeah. I like your 10. I'm going to go a little points higher than you on that one. I'm going to say 42-10 and they will cover that. It's just, Iowa's about as good as 10. And I just think that the thing is, once Iowa's defense starts falling apart, and they will fall apart in this game, in my opinion, that
it's too much.
Ohio State can just score so quickly, and you know, it's just, they're gonna get so tired into this game because they're gonna be on the field a lot. And you know, part of me doesn't even, and the only reason why I think it could be 10 is just, I do think Stroud will make a mistake somewhere in this game and throw an interception.
It could be a pick six, or they could, you know, get it within the 10-yard line.
Like, I'm like, part of me feels like it could be more like 7, but just because it seems like it's going to be a probably 10-14, that I'm going to go with the lower end on that one, 10. I think that they will get back into the 40s, you know, normally that seems like it. And that's, they'll do that in this game too. So yeah, 42-10 I'm going with.
If Ohio State gives up 55 points in this game,
Yeah.
Fire everybody.
Nah, I don't know. No, it won't be fire everybody, but it would be, you know, there's going to be a lot of drinking. I might finish one of those bottles.
All right, sir. Let's give us a victory shot for this week.
I'm feeling the Basils this week. So that's what we're going to go with. The Basils Hayden.
Basil Hayden's will be the victory shot for this week. So Ohio State, don't let us down.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
I'm Mike.
OH.
IO. Go Buckeyes.
Go Buckeyes.